go back to where we were yesterday morning. Let's go to Matthew 28. This is a part of a whole series that the Lord gave me. And I believe it's going to come out in a book one of these days called Living and Resurrection Life. We were talking about it yesterday. Most churches, you only hear about resurrection on Easter. The rest of the time is nothing. But the resurrection is so vital to the Christian because therein is our life. Because he lives, we live. But we live in that resurrection life. Verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, near the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the boulder and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his garments as white as snow. And his appearance was like lightning. Can you imagine having somebody appear like lightning? I don't think you can even conceptualize that. I mean, lightning from a distance can be overwhelming. But lightning of a person standing right there, and his garments as white as snow. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight that they were agitated and trembled and became as dead men. It means they fell out in the power. Some people want to know where falling down in the power is in the Bible. Go read that. There it is. And the angel said to the woman, do not be alarmed and afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. And he said, as he said he would do, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they left the tomb hastily with fear and a great joy to tell the disciples. Now, this was an amazing event. I still can't believe. I mean, Hollywood has done many stories of the crucifixion, but they really haven't grabbed this one. This would be the epic motion picture of what actually happened if they would paint the story properly, when the stones rolled away and what happened at the tomb that day. But then there's also something else you have to add to this. Go back to chapter 27 and verse 50. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. And then, now watch this, many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So, watch this. Jesus comes up from the grave along with all those that were in prison in Abraham's bosom. He brings them up out. So it's not just him resurrected. It's all the Old Testament saints walking the streets of Jerusalem. There was a lockdown on the city. You couldn't go anywhere. Everyone knew about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was not something done in secret. This was not something done. They hung him and crucified him publicly. He rose from the dead publicly. He was seen of many. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs and was seen of them 40 days. So now 40 days, take today and go forward 40 days. There's a lot of days to show yourself alive. And I promise you, he wasn't sitting by the Sea of Galilee sipping iced tea. He was showing himself. I believe he visited everyone and saw them personally. If you had 40 days, Jerusalem's a small place. I've been there. I've been to Jerusalem, walked the streets of Jerusalem, just walked around. You can walk around in 4 or 5 hours around the whole city. 40 days seeing. And we know the scripture tells us that the disciples were praying in a closed, locked room, and he'd come through the wall and just stood in front of them. That'll clear your sinuses. When you've locked yourself in a room and suddenly he comes through the wall and stands there right there in front of you. Nails in his hands and his feet, side. And Thomas said, you know, I won't believe it until I see. And he said, reach your hand and touch. And then Thomas believed. Now, somebody said, well, what actually happened in the 40 days? Well, that's one of the things I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I'm going to pull the virtual reality tapes and I want to sit and check all of the 40 days. I'm going to do that. You can mark that down. Because I want to see what he did and to whom he went. Because everything's on record. Even this moment here is on record. 1,000 years from now, we could be able to pull this up. In extra fact, mark that down in your calendar. We'll pull up this moment 1,000 years from there. Mark it down. Remind me. Amen. Heavenly time. She said, Texas time. I said, heavenly time. But one thing is interesting, and I believe I've shared this with you here before, but there's many people never heard these things, so I keep repeating these things. You know, you have to keep repeating. Some people hear it, but they don't hear it. And then the third time they go, wow, I've never heard that before. You say, hey, you actually were sitting in the service where I actually shared that. But your mind was somewhere else at the time of my sharing. But I got hold of a volume called the Arco volume, which comes out of the Vatican Library, which there's documents in there that you can't even really access that really from the early days of the first century church that documented so many things. There's certain things that they keep away. They don't want to get out because it would diffuse what they're doing. It would neutralize their own religion, the way they function in Catholicism if they let those documents get out, but they are on record there. So this was published, and I'm not sure if it's in print right now. I bought about 100 copies. I've been giving them away to preachers. But it's documented writings at the time of Jesus as they went around and interviewed Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Joseph, and Mary, and what took place at the time. Now, obviously, you can't preach this because it's not Bible, but it's like a history book, you know, and there's enough documents in the book to substantiate the validity of the book, where the stories come from. The writings of Gamaliel, the writings of Josephus, and Gamaliel, if you understand anything about that, Paul was influenced by that. Isn't that right? Okay, so Paul come along after the fact, but he was filled in all the blanks. I mean, he knew what he knew when he was caught up into heaven and what God showed him, even on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him. But then he was trained. He had been taught. And so what was interesting was when they went and interviewed Mary and Joseph. Jesus was about 26 years of age at the time. And so they were interviewing him about, you know, they said Joseph just was not really that good looking, you know. He just was an average guy. Said Mary was, she was a beautiful lady, but Joseph was kind of grumpy. He's just a grumpy man. And they questioned him about Jesus growing up. They said, well, that if he was going to amount to anything, he didn't exemplify it because he wasn't interested in anything of what was going on in the day. He didn't even pay attention to clothes and how he looked. But they said that if any fights broke out in the family, that he would say one word or a sentence and everybody would be speechless. They would just be quiet. They said that Jesus spent a lot of time with the retired priest, and they would spend hours, and that Jesus' friend Lazarus would come, and they would go up on top of the house, and there would be the all hours of the night. I mean, you know, which you think about it, I mean, him and Lazarus were close. And of course, Mary and Martha, they asked Mary and Martha, they said, has he showed any interest in you? They said, we wish he did. They said, we've tried to get close, but he almost pushes us away. So, I mean, there was stuff that you could see that was valid. And they just said, he better wake up, you know, at 26, he's not going anywhere if he's going to do something. But said, everywhere he goes and he talks, people gather. And they've asked him to teach, but he won't. And they said that they tried to trick him on the law. And if a priest is talking, he corrects them and says, you left that out. And then they check it and everything to the final detail that he knew. And they said that a deer would walk up and just stand, let him pet him. Wild animals were not afraid of him. They would just come up to him, which to me makes total sense. And they said they could never find Jesus. They would get to interview Jesus, and he'd either just left or he wasn't there yet. So they could never get him, but they did interview Joseph and Mary and Mary and Martha. Very interesting document, if you can get your hands on, called the Arco Volume. And the interesting thing to me about the book was the interview that they did with Caiaphas the high priest. When I read it, I just really began to weep because I really believe that this happened. Caiaphas said after the crucifixion of Jesus, he was really afraid. He said he felt like he'd done something wrong. He felt like there's something terrible about to happen. So he went and locked himself in a room in his house, put a soldier at the door and locked himself in. But he had a fear, like a fear of dread on him. And then Caiaphas said, suddenly he stood in front of me. So this must be during the 40 days when he's showing himself alive. And he said, when he stood in front of me and I looked into his eyes, he said, I was overwhelmed by love. And he said, he spoke to me. And he said, tell the priesthood that they've sacrificed the final lamb and that what was done needed to be done. And he said, I fell out. He said, my strength went from my body and I fell to the ground. And he said, my father-in-law picked me up and put me on the bed. When I came around, he was gone. And so then he resigned. He sent a letter to the priesthood and said, I resign as priest this day, for I feel I can no longer officiate anymore because he appeared to me, and that the final lamb, we have sacrificed the final lamb. That's in that document. Which would totally make sense. If Jesus was there for 40 days and showed himself alive, then who would he go? Wouldn't he go see Caiaphas? How many think he would go see Caiaphas? Yeah. What's the best way to go see somebody? Land a helicopter in the backyard? Or just walk through the wall? You know what I'm saying? Just walk, just appear. Just suddenly you're there. And so if he saw him, then who else did he see? Do you understand the power of the resurrection in those 40 days displayed heading towards an upper room? Because he hadn't left yet. He was on the earth, risen from the dead, walking, showing himself alive with many infallible proofs. And then, as he's about to be taken up into heaven, he tells them now to go and wait for the promise of the Father, because the Holy Spirit couldn't come till he left. Remember this, the Father sent the Son, and then the Son sent the Spirit. And remember this, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. So if people have a problem with that, then they have actually have a problem with Jesus. Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. So if you touch the Holy Spirit, you're actually touching Jesus. That's why I said what I said yesterday morning. I live in dread for ministers that will touch the Holy Ghost. A fear for their life. We had a mega church pastor in South Florida. I mean, the fastest growing church, probably 25,000. They were building satellite church left, right, and center. He would get on television and rip the move of the Spirit of God. I mean, because we're on the same channel. So, I know he was taking shots and mocking the Holy Ghost and had to step down for numerous affairs, numerous adulterous affairs. And I thought to myself, brother, if you'd have just let that, what you were criticizing, touch your life, you'd still be in the ministry today. I mean, it wasn't just one woman, multiple women in his church. I mean, just devastating. The sheer arrogance of a man that would even do that. But when I heard him touching the Holy Ghost, I said, oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. It's not going to be long. You're going to be out of the way. You're touching Jesus. Don't touch the Spirit of God. Don't touch the Spirit of grace. And so what you have to understand, that the disciples were born again, not on the day of Pentecost. That's when they were empowered. They were born again when Jesus met them and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's when they were saved. Because people say the church started on the day of Pentecost. The church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The church started when they met him on the road and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's when they were saved, but they were not baptized in the Holy Ghost. They did not speak with other tongues, and they were not empowered. They were saved. You can be saved, but not empowered. There is a work of salvation, and then there's a work of empowerment. So he tells them, now go tarry at Jerusalem, and you receive the promise of the Father. So not only is Jesus the one that sends the Holy Spirit, but it's the promise of the Father. So if you touch the Holy Ghost, you're touching the Father. And that's why, I try to warn ministers, don't play with the anointing. I've seen many ministers play with the anointing and their life cut short. I'm telling you, don't play with the Holy Ghost. Don't joke around with the Holy Spirit. Don't play with the anointing. It's not going to be good for you. Can you say amen? Don't do anything that God doesn't do. Don't say anything he doesn't say. Don't make up stuff. Don't fabricate anything. Don't try to make anything happen. Let the Lord do what he does. You just yield. If the flow's not there, just shut it down and on down the road. Amen. But don't try to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Amen. Let the Lord do what he does. That's why I'm never under any pressure to do anything. I just get up and flow. People say, so how's the order of service? I said, it's flow. There's no order. It's flow. It's a flow. There'll be the order. At the end of the service, you can see the order, but it's a flow. We flow with the Holy Ghost. If you're going to come with me, you're going to have to flow. Amen. So the disciples go into the upper room, and 120 of them, and then the suddenly happens. Now, let me tell you what took place was the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, quickened them, and they were baptized in the resurrection life. That's the only way I can tell you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's why it's hard for me. I'm not saying that you can't go through times of attack or feeling depressed, but let me tell you, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible to be depressed. I'll just tell you right now. It's very hard. I mean, you can think depressed thoughts, but if you let it flow out, this life sustain you. It's very hard to be depressed. And, you know, I get opportunities every day to be depressed. I'm a person that I feel. I'm very sensitive. So I have to deal with myself. I have to deal with, you know, thoughts and stuff and attacks and whatever come against me, and I make a decision. I've learned over the years not to linger too long on any of these things that the enemy would throw up. And so I mean, for like 2 seconds, I'm kind of like depressed. You know what I'm saying? Like a 3 second depression, you know. Maybe 7 seconds at the most. But then when you allow the Spirit of God to explode on the inside of you, that resurrection life quickens you. That resurrection life lifts you up and you see with heaven's eyes. I'm telling you, God has called the church to live in resurrection life. This is the power of the church. Not just in a service. This has got nothing to do with a service. This is the service in you. There's a meeting going on inside me right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so there should be a meeting going on inside of you. And when we get together, we're going to have a move of God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And the meeting is on the streets, wherever you go, and in the hotel, and the airplane, and the bus, and the train, wherever you are, there's a meeting going on. You and Jesus. Hallelujah. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's life. Resurrection life. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. What will it do? What will it do? It will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. I feel the quickening taking place right now. I feel a quickening by the hand of God right now. Hallelujah. Come here, dear lady. This lady right here. Come stand right over here quickly. Yes. Run. I feel a quickening. Jesus. Resurrection life. She's okay. She'll be fine. Trust me, I'm a doctor. She's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Oh, spordaba paradaka. Lefrofo nombre biesta. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, spordista paradista. Soborama katalasaya. Resurrection life. Peter's shadow passing over people. They were healed. Come on. Come on. This is what God wants. Even when you leave this place, you carriers of his life and his nature and his ability. He wants to touch through your hands. He wants to speak through your mouth. He wants to walk in your feet. You are the temple of the living God. The temple houses the very presence of God. The temple carries the very presence of God. Know you not that you are a temple? Don't you know? Don't you know? You're a temple. Then act like one. The temple of God's got nothing to do with the wicked things of the earth. Can you say amen? Come on. You can't have both. Why do you halt between two opinions? No wonder people cut themselves with knives, because they serve in the false. But when he comes to live big on the inside of you, amen. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. As you grow smaller, as you grow littler, as you grow lower, he'll grow higher. As you decrease, he increases. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As you let him possess you, let him take full control. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you have a name. You only have a name so you can be known by that name, so people can call you. So they can differentiate between the masses. And you have a face so that you can be identified. But don't worry about your name and don't worry about your face. Your face is very distinct. Amen. There's no doubt when you're in the house who's there. That nose you have is very important nose. It signifies you. Amen. Don't attack your nose. It's the only one you've got. Hallelujah. People are so worried about their appearance. They're so worried about what people are going to think about their appearance. Now, I'm not saying to not make yourself look presentable, but the day comes when it doesn't really matter anymore, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It don't matter anymore. It just doesn't really matter anymore. I see pastors 65 years old pushing weights in the gym. I said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? They're trying to bench press 300 pounds. I said, you're an idiot. I mean, seriously. What, are you going to go impress somebody with your... Really, bro? I mean, cycle, do something, but bench press, really? They're trying to relive the glory days of yesterday. Come on. Those days are over, bro. Come on. Seriously? Really? brother, come on. Is this helping anybody here? Yeah, look after yourself. Yeah, eat the right food and exercise, but don't take too much stock in that. People get hit by a bus, and they're the fittest people on the planet. A Mack truck at 65 years old, at 65 miles an hour, doesn't care that you're 35 years old and fit. A Mack truck doesn't care. Oh, he trained. Leave him alone. Take the old lady on the street. Amen. Truck doesn't differentiate. Amen. So get over yourself. No, we should yield to the Lord. We should yield to Him. Amen. He will sustain us. He will keep us. Yes. You know something? And some of you know the journey. I mean, you know, I've lost all this weight. 159 pounds. I mean, can you believe it? So from a size 58 or 60 suit to a 40 regular. From a 56 inch waist to 34. And that's a miracle. It really is a miracle. I mean, and it's only by the grace of God. The Lord helped me to do that. I lost a shoe size. I had to get small. I had fat feet. All my rings fell off. My fingers looked like Twinkies at one time. Listen, one of my shirts houses homeless families in Haiti right now. I was driving through Africa, and I recognized the fabric on that gospel tent that we used. I said, that was my shirt. That, my God, they got 3,000 people under that shirt there. But when I first went, we don't really have a doctor in the sense of a worldly, normal medical doctor. We go to natural medicine. We have a homeopathic doctor. We've just always been like that all the time. I mean, I do whatever I can to avoid the medical deal because it's wicked. You know, we have 300 plus million people in America. We use 70% of the world's drugs. It's by design. To kill the people off, and it's terrible what they're doing. Food and Drug Administration are killing the people through the poison foods and the drugs and getting the people on. They're not really healing people anymore. They're just treating the symptoms until they die. And it used to be about healing people and getting people well. It's not about that now. I was talking to a pastor of a large African-American church in Baltimore, and he said, I served on the board of one of the major hospitals, and he said I had to resign because all the board talked about was filling beds and how we could fill beds, and that they would bring doctors in that would do operations. They said, we don't want doctors that are going to send people away. Do an operation, no matter what it is. Put a stent in. Most people that have stents don't need stents. The doctors put them in so they can charge money. Let me tell you, it's wrong. This is wickedness at the highest. He said, I had to resign because I couldn't be a part of that. I couldn't be a part of wickedness as they were just talking about bed occupancy. How are we going to keep the hospital full and the beds filled? By hiring doctors that operate. Bring them in. Operate. First thing, operate. Knee replacement, hip replacement, operate. Just operate. Just keep operating. And this wickedness on the people. That's not what medicine's here for. Medicine's not here to make money. Medicine's here to heal people, or supposed to be. Isn't that right? So this doctor has been doing this for 30, probably 40, over 40, maybe 42 years now. So he's very trained. He has the latest equipment from Germany and whatever. And I was a little, when I went there, you know. So they wanted me to fill out the whole form and so they could, I could tell them what's wrong with me. And I said, I ain't filling out nothing. All you're getting is my name. You tell me what's wrong with me. I'm not telling you anything. Nothing. Not one thing. Yeah, here you are. Here's my hand. And you tell me what's wrong. And he read my mail. He said, you have a kidney stone on the left kidney. And it had been twinging that day. I mean, everything to the T. And so we started that journey. This was before the weight loss, before I started losing weight. So they have a test of your biological age. Now remember, I'd been doing two meetings a day, 6 days a week, 46 weeks of the year, for 14 years. Two meetings a day, 6 days a week, 46 weeks of the year for 14 years. And I go to him, and he tested my biological age, and he said, your biological age is that of a 92-year-old man. I said, sir, I feel 108. No, I really did. I felt so tired. I was like, oh, my God. You know, it's just, and yeah, I was only probably, what, 46, 45 at the time, 46. And then he had, now this is where the miracle was. He had a test that tested your cell's ability to repair itself. And he said, I've been doing this for years. And he said, the scale runs from 0 to 1,300. My wife, who's very healthy, comes in at 895. Like she, and that's good. And the average person that's healthy, that's where they come. He said, I tested you twice. He said, you come in at 1,360. He said, you are off the charts. Over on this side, and I've never seen a person like this in my life. I don't understand what you're doing, what vitamins you're taking, what you're on. And then it hit me. I said, sir, the only reason that number is there and the only reason the Lord has sustained me is because of the anointing. I said, that is number one, the anointing of God, because you can't stand in meetings daily where the anointing of God's flowing. And right now, I'm standing, I feel the Spirit of God just going right, literally, tangibly, going through me like wave upon wave. It's quickening me. That's what's happening to Charlie, just sitting right there in the corner. That's why he's been, you saw him got struck by lightning today. I mean, this is real. This is not stuff that we make up. It's tangible. It's like standing in a shower. It's like if I brought a hose pipe in here and sprayed you with water. Is that real? That tangible? So if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken, make alive your mortal body. And that's what was working within my body, was that quickening by the Spirit of God. Amen. Come walk with me for just a moment. Come here. Come here. Just walk with me. Just walk with me for a moment. So the quickening. It's the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. It will quicken. Make alive your mortal body. Come walk with me. Ha. Walk. Pick him up. Walk with me. Jesus. Hallelujah. See, he's the God. He's the God that answers by fire. Amen. It's real. You carry the presence of God. You a carrier. Some people, they carry drugs. Some people carry disease. Some people carry a virus. Some people carry depression. We carry, you and I, we carry the presence of God. We carry us of the very presence of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And God wants us to live like that. Yes. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That doesn't mean to say you're not going to be normal. And you don't have to be weird. And you don't have to be wacky. And you don't have to be goofy. I'm talking about spiritual now. Spiritual weirdness. You can just be a normal person. Amen. I go to places and I meet people and they don't even know I'm a minister. Later on they find out I'm a preacher. You don't look like a preacher. I say, thank you so much. And what does a preacher look like? Whew. Jesus. 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 I felt that. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Now don't think that the power of God's not available to you on the streets. That's where it's needed. That's where it's needed. You can bring an Aflac duck in here, it'll get anointed. It's out on the streets where the trouble is. It's out in the darkness where it's dark. That's where the light needs to shine. Can you say amen? And everybody must be used. The problem is people make it exclusive to just a few in the fivefold ministry with some special anointing. No, there are special anointings. There are unique anointings. But the anointing is available to every believer. The power of God's available to every believer to operate in. And you have to rise up. You have to rise up into that place. It's time. It's time to take your place. Not just with words of affirmation of what you believe, but in demonstration of what you know to be true, so that you can go around and demonstrate to your friends and family and loved one the power of the resurrection, that even though they might not believe in God, when they see you, they say, we did not believe there was a God, but someone showed up at our house today, and when they spoke differently to anyone we've ever heard before. And when they spoke, their words shook us to the very core. And we looked in their eyes, and we saw eyes that were different than the eyes of a dull, dumbed-down person. We saw the life of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on. God's called you to live in this. He's called every single one of you to live in this. Obviously, you can't live under the power lying on the floor. Nothing will be done. But we get empowered and then we go out. We're in the upper room and then we go out. We get under the anointing and we go out. We come together and God quickens us, but then we go out. We win the lost. We bring in the harvest. We cast out devils and we do what God's called us to do. Amen. It's very simple. It's not complicated. And you can't buy this and you can't earn it. You just have to grab it and believe it and walk in it. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 The power of the resurrection. It's life. It's life. It's resurrection life. It's life. It's life. It's life. It's life. Come walk with me. It's life. Just walk with me. It's life. It's life. It's life. It's life. It's life. Shukopa. It's life. It's life. Woo. It's life. It's life. It's life. Shopo Rama. Ha! Kopa Rama Sata. sombro bondele bassi paradele verso pronono sa paradele verso fravaia sa paradi stepo bobo coco. Come here, the two of you, come here, come the other side. Come here, come walk with me. This is what Jesus wants us to do. He says, come walk with me. Come walk with me. We're walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're walking with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Where he leads me, I'll follow. I'll go with him. I'll follow him. Soparadabasata. Woo. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to take his hand. You got to walk with him. Every day with Jesus. Sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus. How I love him more and more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Ho, shapardista, perdon, lebroso. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, yeah. You run with fire. Run! You run with fire. Hallelujah. Quickening in your mortal body. Quickening in your mortal body. Quickening. Quickening. You know, Dr. Hicks, I was really close to him. He used to come to the church, and before he went home to be with the Lord, we were talking. And then I got a call from Dr. Barclay and said, listen, please send Dr. Hicks a greeting. He's very down. I said, why? He said, well, Sister Hicks went home to be with the Lord, and all Dr. Hicks's friends are going home with the Lord, and Dr. Hicks is upset because he can't die. He can't die. He doesn't why he's still around. He can't die. So I sent him a message. I said, Dr. Hicks, I said, how in the world do you expect to die when every day, every morning, you've been taking communion for only God knows how long, holding the bread, talking about this body that was broken for you, and by his stripes you healed, and you've been effecting that for years, and now suddenly you want to die? I said, sir, it don't work that way. I said, you are an inspiration to every young man, every young woman, that God's healing power works. So be encouraged. Today, don't worry about the day will come when you will leave the earth, but your time's not yet. Just rejoice and be that living memorial that God's called you to be. Don't get upset because you can't die. The day will come when you will, but you can't have communion every morning for 50 plus years and then get mad because you're not dying. Why am I not dying? Why am I not dying? You're not dying because the life of God is working on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. Resurrection life. I heard the Lord say, tell my people to walk in my life. They're not living in my resurrection life. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is what you have been given to live by. No drugs, no alcohol. Don't stoop that low. That's rubbish. That's pills and uppers and whatever else you're taking. That's rubbish. Life. You called to live in resurrection life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A quickening in your body. A quickening in your body. A quickening in your body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. This is where the church has gone wrong. We go with the message with no demonstration. That's what I saw in the Capitol when I spent all those weeks up there. There's so much messages and people are speaking. There's no demonstration. And we're not going to D.C. with just the message. We're coming in the power of the resurrection and demonstration. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand, if you would, please. Now, tonight, I'm going to be ministering by the laying on of hands. I'm going to pray for everybody tonight. I just feel that in my spirit. I want you to really take some time this afternoon and to really be in prayer so that you don't have to straighten things out when you get here tonight. To really be in prayer and come ready to receive tonight. I believe tonight is going to be special anointings that are going to be released. For some of the things I've been talking about, yeah, even not just now, but in the earlier part. The prophet took on the system of the day. There are many that don't want us to do that. But I've got a Bible, I read it. It's time to run to the battle. Goliath is threatening us. We've taken the lion, we've taken the bear. It's time to take out the giant now. We've got the stones. We've got the five smooth stones. The name, the word, the blood, the angels, and the Holy Ghost. We have five smooth stones, so we're ready. The sling works. We know how to use it. Can you say amen? It's time to run now. Goliath is threatening the armies of God every single day, mocking us. And we're going to go take him out and all his brothers too. Come on now, say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. But we can't do it with Saul's armor. This is what they're trying to do in the Capitol. I was there. All the preachers coming in with Saul's armor. We're just coming with that of a shepherd boy. We're coming with the very basics. What's so simple will take out the most profound. Can you say amen? What's so simple will dismantle the most complex? Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. So how many will do that? And you say, I'm going to prepare myself tonight. This is not just a normal laying on of hands. I'm believing God for special impartation tonight, special anointings. And when you go back home, it's going to break out in your region. And assignments. God's going to add assignments in the natural that you have to do. All the spiritual stuff you're doing, but there's going to be some natural things that you have to do. Amen? Praise God. Have you been blessed today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Charlie, do you need to make any more announcements? If you want to, you can come do it now. I know you got lunch for the soul winners, and yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Soul winning today at 2. We do have lunch prepared for the soul winners down in the fellowship hall to my right. Dan should be down there, and it'll be a short time of training. It's life-changing. Remember, tonight at 7, and then tomorrow at 10 and 7, morning prayer at 9 a.m. God bless you. Go with God. We'll see you this evening. Amen. You are dismissed.